All right, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. I'm just going to read two verses. Verse 9 and verse 13. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray together. Let's all close our eyes and let's pray and let's ask the Lord to help us tonight. Lord, we're thankful to be here tonight. We're thankful for the good week we had with Vacation Bible School. We're thankful for the good week you gave us, the good weather, the good attendance, the good camaraderie and good spirit that was here, both in the morning and in the evening. Thankful for those who were saved this week. And thankful for those who maybe were saved but needed to get some things right, and or maybe some little assurance of salvation. Whatever it may be, we're thankful for the work, the way you worked in the hearts of people this week. And now, Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity to be here tonight for our final service, Vacation Bible School Week, and I pray you'll help me do my best as I preach the gospel tonight. We pray particularly for those in this room that aren't saved, that tonight they'll understand what we're talking about when we talk about being saved, and they'll get saved even tonight. Now, have your way tonight. I pray the Spirit of God will help me as I expound the Word of God. I pray the Spirit of God will speak to hearts tonight. We ask all these things now in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to talk tonight about the importance of being saved. The main reason we have Vacation Bible School is so that boys and girls can understand what it means to be saved. And we're thankful that over the years we've seen many young people get saved at Vacation Bible School. There are many people today that are on the mission field, missionaries, who were saved in Vacation Bible School. There are many pastors preaching the gospel now, pastoring churches, that were saved in Vacation Bible School. There are many Christians that are good workers in various churches around the world that were saved in Vacation Bible School. I want to talk tonight about the importance of being saved and what it means to be saved, and how everyone, every boy and girl, every man and woman needs to be saved. Now, not everyone in this world is saved. Children who come to Vacation Bible School, they know that. They learn that. Not everyone in this world is saved. In fact, I hate to say it, but it's true. Most people in this world are not saved. Most people are not going to heaven. They might think they are, but they're not. The Lord Jesus put it this way. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 13 and verse 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So did you hear what Jesus said? He said the broad way, the wide road, leads to destruction. And unfortunately, that's the road most people are on. Most people are on that broad, wide road that's leading to eternal damnation. Only a few people are on that narrow, that straight, narrow road that leads to everlasting life, that leads to heaven. In Luke 19 and verse 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." So according to the words of our Savior, people are either saved or they're lost. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. People are lost. They need to be saved. And that's why we have Vacation Bible School. That's why we have Sunday School. That's why we have preaching services. That's why we have revival meetings. So people can understand what it means to be saved. Now, of course, to be saved, a person first has to acknowledge that they're lost, because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. You can't get somebody saved unless they first admit that they're lost. And that's where a lot of people get into trouble. So tonight, I want to make it very plain. You're either saved or you are lost. You have to ask yourself tonight, am I saved or am I lost? Well, I've got good news for you. If you're lost, you can be saved tonight. Amen? You can walk into this room lost and walk out saved. Praise God for that. Amen? You can walk out and say, well, you know, I went to that meeting tonight and I got saved. Praise God. Now I'm saved. You can get that settled tonight. You can know for sure your sins are forgiven and you're saved and on your way to a place called heaven. Now, sometimes we use the word saved in different ways. For example, we might refer to a man who went out to the ocean. Last night we went out to Long Beach. And I told Brother Knoyer and some of the other workers, let's keep a close eye on these young people. They're going to be excited about the ocean. They're going to jump in and they're going to be careful. Many people drown out in Long Beach or Rockaway Beach because of the strong undercurrent. So you probably heard somebody say, yes, somebody almost drowned, but the lifeguard saved him. Somebody used the word that way. But I'm not talking about that kind of being saved tonight. I'm not talking about being saved from drowning. I'm talking tonight about being saved from hell. Being saved from sin. And the penalty of sin, which is eternal damnation in a place the Bible calls the lake of fire. In the context in which the word is used tonight, being saved means being saved from eternal punishment in hell. Again, I'll quote that scripture that I started off with, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. You can have that assurance tonight. You know, sometimes when I'm out visiting, I like to go out into the community, knock on doors, give out gospel tracts, talk to people, and I'll often say, you saved? And they'll say, well, you know, our church doesn't use that term, saved. I'll say, well, maybe your church doesn't use it, but Jesus certainly used it, amen? And the Bible certainly uses it quite a bit. So people need to know. Or some people say to me, I don't know, I have no idea if I'm saved. You know, that's something you can know for sure you're saved. I've had folks tell me, no one can know for sure if you're saved or not. You don't know if you're saved. I say, yes, I do. So how do you know? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what? Whosoever includes me. Amen? Includes you too. I love that story I heard many years ago about the great preacher, John Bunyan. John Bunyan wrote that famous book, Pilgrim's Progress. He was a great preacher and a great writer. And started out as a tinker, believe it or not. But boy, God used that tinker. And he became one of the greatest preachers and writers of all time. In fact, Pilgrim's Progress is the most popular book of all time after one other book, the Bible. The Bible is the most popular book of all time, the bestseller of all time. The second biggest book, the second biggest seller of all time is Pilgrim's Progress. Well, John Bunyan said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:16. And John Bunyan said, "I'm so glad he said whosoever." Because if he would have said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," then if John Bunyan believes in him, John Bunyan will not perish, but have everlasting life. But you know, it could have been some other John Bunyan. It could have been some John Bunyan who lives on the other side of the ocean. It could have been some John Bunyan who lived 100 years ago. It could be some John Bunyan who's going to live 100 years hence. But when he says, "Whosoever believeth in him," I know that means me. Amen? And you know what? It means you too. That's right. You don't have to worry about that. Whosoever includes you. You can walk out of here tonight saying, "Thank God, I know I'm saved, because whosoever believeth in Christ will not perish." And that means me. "And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I called on the name of the Lord. I asked him to save me. And I believe God, he saved me." Amen? Amen. Praise God for that. We're talking about being saved tonight. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The provision for being saved is made through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is something we have to stress in our teaching, in Vacation Bible School, and in Sunday School, and in our pulpit. The reason we're saved, the provision's been made, is based on the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Right after Romans, the very next book is 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and please look with me at verse 1, verse number 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. By which also you're saved. There's that word again. Wherein you're saved. Paul says, this is how you know you're saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Beloved, the Bible says in verse 2, this is how you know you're saved. Because Christ died for our sins. This is the gospel. There's no other gospel. He says in verse 1, I'm giving you the gospel. I declare unto you the gospel. And the gospel is that Christ died on the cross for our sins. He took our place on the cross. He died as our substitute. And that He was buried and He rose again from the dead. Praise God for that. And if you believe that, the Bible says you can be saved. What's our text? That thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You believe in Christ. You trusting in Him. He died for your sins. He took your place on the cross. You believe in Him. The Bible says God will save you from hell. Now tonight I want to talk about the need to be saved. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. If you don't have a turn there, I'll read it to you. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you notice the Bible says all of us, every single one of us, all of us have gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Why is this world so messed up? You know why? Everyone's looking out for themselves. The Bible says we have turned everyone to his own way. Everyone wants to do their own thing. Not thinking about others. Thinking about themselves. Not thinking about God. We're all sinners. By birth, by inclination, by choice, and that's why everyone needs to be saved. Everyone needs to be saved. Now, some people think that being saved is being baptized. Oh, I meet people all the time that tell me that. I'll go out, I'll knock on a door, I'll say, sir, madam, are you saved? And oftentimes they'll say, oh, sure, I was baptized. I'll say, that's not what I'm talking about. Just last night at the beach, we came walking down the ramp from the boardwalk to get onto the beach. I saw a young lady reading the Bible. I said, are you saved? He says, I was baptized. I said, I'm not talking about being baptized. Being baptized, not being saved. I heard a story one time, true story, about a lady and a preacher knocked on the door and said, ma'am, are you saved? And she said, oh yes, I was baptized and all my sins are washed away when I get baptized. He said, is that right? She said, yes. And she said, the preacher said, what happened about the sins that were you committed after you were baptized? What about those sins? You were baptized, then the next day, the day after that, what about those sins? Oh boy, she got confused. And she, I didn't think about that. I'll tell you what, I'm going to get baptized again, she said. And then he said, okay, you're going to get baptized again, and then what about the sins you commit after you get baptized a second time? Oh, now she was very perplexed. Now she was like really confused. He says, tell you what, lady, just stay under the water all the time, that's all. Stay submerged under the water all the time, yeah? Now he was being a little facetious, but he got his point across, right? Baptism cannot wash away sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, praise God, amen? Baptism cannot save anyone. He said, I thought you were a Baptist preacher. I am a Baptist preacher. We baptize people after they're saved, amen? First they get saved by trusting in Christ. First they get saved by believing in Jesus. Then they're born again. After they're saved, genuinely saved, trusting in Christ, born again, then we baptize them. Because baptism is symbolic. Baptism cannot save anyone. But some folks think being baptized is being saved. And some churches teach that. Sure, some will believe that. Some people think being saved is joining a church. I'm not going to go, hey, you saved? Oh yeah, I'm a member of the church. But you know, you can join a church and not be saved.
Sure, lots of folks and church members are not saved. Let me be frank with you tonight. Hell is full of church members. Have you thought about that? That's right. Hell is filled with church members. Yeah, deacons, Sunday school teachers, even some preachers are in hell right now. That's right. That's right. Joining a church doesn't get you saved. You can be a church member and still need to be saved. Some people think being saved is doing good works. Oh, I'm just doing good work. I said, are you saved? I'm doing the best I can. Listen, you can't do enough. If you didn't do enough to be saved, why did Jesus die on the cross for your sins? Why would he have to die such a terrible, horrible death if you can be saved by your good works? Let me tell you, remember when Jesus died, there was a thief on one side and a thief on the other side, right? One thief was impenitent. He died and went to hell. But the other thief repented, remember? And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you enter into the kingdom. And our Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He was saved, right? He got saved. Jesus said, I'll see you in paradise. What works did he do? What good works did he do? No works. He trusted in Christ. Amen? He believed in Jesus. He repented and trusted Christ. What good works could a man do when he's dying on the cross? What good works did he do? He was a thief. In fact, he didn't get baptized also. He wasn't baptized. Now, I believe if he could have got off that cross and when it came down, he would have got baptized. Amen? But that's the point. The point is, good works cannot save you. The Bible says we're saved by God's grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not of works, the Bible says. Let's not even mention both. We're saved by God's grace. Salvation has to be God's way if it's to be genuine. Man tries to invent different ways to get saved, but those ways are sure to fail. We have to do it God's way. The Bible way. Now, Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, that is, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. And by the way, when the Bible says the wages of sin is death, that's more than just physical death. That's talking about the second death. It's not just physical death because everybody's going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. We're all going to die unless the Lord comes back tonight. And then those of us that are saved are going to go up to glory land without dying. Thank God for that. There's a generation that's going to be alive when the Lord returns. But you know what? Other than that, everybody's going to die. Everybody's going to die. So when the Bible says the wages of sin is death, it's talking about the second death. And the second death means spiritual death. The second death means eternal punishment in the lake of fire. The second death is referred to four times in the book of Revelation. Revelation 2:11, Revelation 20 verse 6, Revelation 20 verse 14, and Revelation 21:8. Let me quote to you from Revelation chapter 21 verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The nursery's open, by the way. The nursery's open. If little kids need to go to the nursery, now's a good time to go in there. So the Bible says the second death is the lake of fire. All liars, idolaters, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers. You say, well, I don't want to go to a place like that. I don't want to go to a place where there's murderers and the sorcerers and all these wicked people. My friend, unless you trust in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that's where you're going to go. That's why you need to be saved. Let me say a few words more about what it means to be saved. I already said what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean being saved from drowning out at Long Beach. It doesn't mean being baptized. It doesn't mean joining the church. It doesn't mean you're doing good works. Being saved means you are forgiven. When we violate God's law, it is a sin. Do you know every sin that you do, God takes a record of that? Do you know that? Do you ever think about that? You know, you can commit a sin here, and the courts will tell you, if you stay out of trouble for the next year or two, we're going to wipe that out. You know that? He'll do that. The judge will tell you, you're on probation now, you stay out of trouble, after a year or two, we'll just cleanse your record, you won't be any record. They tell you that. But you know, God keeps a record of everything.
Every sin. You can go back to when you were a little kid and lie to your mommy or daddy. You can go back to when you were a little kid in school and stole something, or you cheated on an exam. You can go way back. You can go back to yesterday when you ran a stop sign. Amen. I don't know what it was. But every single thing you've done that's wrong, God keeps a record.
That's right.
But when you're saved, God wipes the record clean. Amen. That's from being saved. Listen, the Bible says this. In Numbers 32:23, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. The Bible says that. Be sure. You can be sure of that. Be sure your sin will find you out. God knows everything, and He brings everything to light in time. Some people need to get away with their sin. They're not. I heard a true story about some thieves, and they broke into a home. It was somewhere up in New England, where they have a lot of snow up there. And these thieves broke into a home and stole a lot of stuff. They stole a TV and some jewelry. And in their getaway, they backed the car up into a big snowbank and got away. Well, the police came. And you know what the police discovered? They looked at that snowbank, and when those thieves backed the car up, their license plate made an imprint in the snowbank. Yeah? True story.
Well, the police were able to find him pretty quickly then, you know. They did a check on the license plate. They found him. They arrested him. They went to jail. Be sure your sin will find you out. God doesn't need to go investigate your license plate, buddy. Amen? He knows everything you're doing. He doesn't go out in the snowbanks. God knows everything you've done. But when you get saved, God forgives you. Being saved means forgiveness for all your sin. That's a good feeling, right? You've probably done things you regret. I've done things I regret. Things that we're ashamed of. They say, oh no, I hope everyone finds out about that. God will forgive you all those wicked, wicked sins. All those wicked sins. God will forgive you and cleanse you of all your sins when you are genuinely saved. Now, be sure your sin will find you out. When you come to God to be saved, your sin record is erased and wiped clean. You no longer owe a debt for the wrong that you've done. When you come to Christ for His salvation, you get pardoned for sin, pardoned from sin, and complete forgiveness. But you have to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to receive it. Amen? To get that pardon, you have to come to Christ and ask Him, and He will give it to you. You first have to ask Him. Heard of the story about a prisoner, and this prisoner was in jail for murder. And he had some relatives that were working day and night to get him a pardon. And they were writing letters, and they were doing everything they could to try to get him a pardon. Well, do you know that the governor finally said, okay, this is many years ago. The governor, not the governor we have now, in fact, I don't think it was New York State, I think it was somewhere further out west. But the governor said, okay, I'll tell you what, I'm going to personally go to the prison and hand him the pardon. You know that? The governor was going to do that. He was so moved by all these letters and the family members and former employers and all these people said other circumstances, he should be given a pardon. It was an unusual situation. But you know what happened? When the governor went down to that prison, the prisoner, they didn't tell the prisoner what was happening. It was going to surprise him. And they didn't tell the governor was coming. They didn't even tell him he was getting a pardon. And no one told him. And he didn't recognize the governor. Back then there was no TV. And there was no internet. He didn't know anything about it. He didn't recognize the governor. The governor came down. He thought he was a preacher. And the governor had a nice suit on. And he might have been carrying a Bible. I don't know. But the prisoner sort of goes, get him out of here. I don't want to talk to anybody. Get him out of here. And they said, wait, stop. You don't know what you're saying. I know what I'm saying. I want him out. Get him out. And they said, will you just calm down? Listen to what we have to say. Listen, tell him to leave. The governor said, all right. And the governor walked out with that pardon still in his pocket. What's my point? A pardon can only be good if it's received. Amen? You have to receive it. Yes, Jesus died for your sins. Yes, Jesus will save you. But unless you come to Jesus and ask Him to save you and receive that pardon, it won't do you any good. Amen? There's two thieves on the cross. One on one side, one on the other. Jesus died for both those thieves. But you know what? One railed on Him and wouldn't repent, and he went to hell. The other one asked for forgiveness. He repented. And he said, Lord, remember me when I went to into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. See?
He received that pardon. You have to receive that pardon to get saved. There's no other way to do it. You have to receive that pardon. Being saved means you are forgiven. Being saved means you are justified. This means that when God forgives us, He puts us in a position as if we had never sinned. It doesn't mean we didn't sin, but it means that when God looks at us, He looks at us as if we had not sinned. God declares us innocent based on the provision that Christ made when He died on the cross for our sins. The guilty are justified. Being saved means you're forgiven. Being saved means you're justified. Being saved means you have eternal life, everlasting life. When one of my daughters was young, my children are grown now. I have four children. But one of them was very young, like some of these kids here. She said to me, Daddy, how long is eternal? How long is eternity? I mean, that's a good question for a child, right? We talk about everlasting life. You're going to spend eternity in heaven. People who don't get saved are going to spend eternity in hell. I mean, so children naturally think eternity. Eternity. How long is eternity? And I said, honey, there's no end to eternity. Eternity lasts forever and ever and ever. I'll never forget what she said to me. She says, wow, that's enough to make my head spin. Yeah. You know what? I've been preaching the gospel for a long time. It still makes my head spin a little too. Amen? Not just to think of how wonderful heaven is, that we're going to be up in heaven forever with our friends from church and our loved ones and those that are dear to us and all those saints that have gone on before us. We'll be reunited with them and we'll be with them forever. And we're going to get to meet David and Paul and Moses and John the Baptist. And most importantly, we're going to be with the Lord Jesus forever. But I also get amazed when I think, I might get a little dizzy when I think of those sinners that are going to be in hell forever and ever and ever. And that's what pushes me forward to keep preaching the gospel, amen? To try to rescue as many people as I can from that awful place called hell. I want people to get saved. If you were to say to me, preacher, what keeps you going all the time? I see you keep pretty busy. You're always on the go. You know what it is? I want to see people get saved, amen? And that's what makes me tick. I'm a burden for sinners. I want to see them receive pardon from sin and everlasting life. For the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, that means should not go to hell, but have everlasting life. Do you have everlasting life? You know, John Newton lived and died over 200 years ago. He was a captain of a slave ship. And by his own admission, a debauched sailor, he was living a wicked life far from God, but God gloriously saved him. He repented of his sins and was saved. He became a great preacher and a writer. He wrote many hymns, and of course his most famous hymn is Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. And one stanza goes like this. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Just think, we could be there 10,000 years and just like our first day in heaven. Amen? We're there in heaven for 10,000 years and we're just getting started. Amen? And then we're going to be there another 10,000 years. And that's just like another couple of days. And on, if you're saved, you'll be in heaven for all eternity. You receive everlasting life. And by the way, everlasting life isn't something you get when you die. Everlasting life is something you receive when you get saved. Amen? You receive that eternal life, everlasting life, the moment you trust Christ. That abundant life is yours if you'll receive it. Well, I talked about the need to be saved. Let me just quickly summarize again by talking about how to be saved. First, you must acknowledge you're a sinner. Some people just won't do that. I can tell you stories of I'm out knocking on doors, and I'll say to someone, well, you know you're a sinner, right? And they'll say, no, not me. No, I'm not a sinner. They won't admit they're a sinner. I'll say, you never lie?
No, not really. No? I guess they just exaggerate a lot, huh? Stretch the truth.
Listen, you have to acknowledge that you're a sinner. Some people are too proud to acknowledge they're sinners and they refuse to humble themselves. Second, you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And to believe in Christ. That means to trust in Christ. And then you have to come to Jesus. Some people call it the ABCs. Acknowledge you're a sinner, believe in Jesus, and come to Christ. We'll give you an opportunity to do that in a few minutes. You can come to Christ even tonight. Now, you know, walking down an aisle doesn't save you. It's believing in Jesus that saves you. But walking down the aisle helps because someone can read the scriptures with you and pray with you and answer any questions you have. Amen? People think, if I walk down the aisle, I'm saved. Not necessarily. You can walk down the aisle and still not be saved. In fact, you can be saved without walking down the aisle. But we give folks an opportunity to do that, to come forward to get saved. You have to come to Jesus. You have to believe in Jesus. Believing in Christ means trusting in Christ. Like we sing, only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Acts chapter 20, verse 21 says, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance means turn around. You're going the wrong way. You're going the worldly way. You're going the wicked way. You're going the wrong way. Turn around and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come the right way towards God. Repentance toward God. And faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Philippian jailer asked a wonderful question. He asked Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know, the Philippian jailer was to ask that question on Elmont Road. You'd be surprised at the answers he'd get. Oh, keep the Ten Commandments. You'll be saved. Get baptized, you'll be saved. Join our church, you'll be saved. But Paul and Silas gave him the right answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the right answer. And he was gloriously saved. Amen? He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He repented of his sin and he was gloriously saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to preach the gospel tonight for this Vacation Bible School rally, this concluding service for our great week that you've given us. We pray tonight that if there's anybody here that's not saved, and we think there probably are quite a few, that tonight you will save them. Give them an assurance that their sins can be forgiven and they can have eternal life if they'll put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.